What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. I just went to my happy place. I just went to Maui, and it was truly amazing. Priceline has always been about getting you to your happy place for a happy price, with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels in Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Dear listeners of The Instance, this is Scott Johnson, and before we get going with today's lore-based World of Warcraft podcast for The Instance with Terpster and I would like to let you know about something that's really rad. And at the end of the show, there'll be more information about this, so don't worry, there's more to come, and I don't want to, you know, talk too much now. But Calm Before the Storm 2017 is happening Thursday, November 2nd. That is the Thursday of BlizzCon, and before BlizzCon, I guess, Friday being the start of BlizzCon. It is a big community event. They've been doing it for years, funded by the community via Kickstarter. And the campaign is halfway over and has already hit its goal, but they're now aiming for some stretch goals. And they want to make this year the biggest it can possibly be. Plenty of these great tiers going on in this Kickstarter. And one of these includes this Calm Before the Storm t-shirts, one of which is being designed by me. I'm making it. Fifth annual World of Podcasts will be taking place. A number of Frog Pants and A-Move TV shows will be represented. And speaking of Frog Pants slash A-Move, the next stretch goal means that you can catch the Frog Pants slash A-Move meetup at the Hilton with the space provided by the Calm Before the Storm. That's right. A big meetup with us right there. Anyway, we're very excited about this. There is more details at the end of the show today, so stay tuned for that. Don't skip it. I think it's worth hearing. And I'm very excited for these guys. Very excited to be a part of it again this year. I love what they're doing. That's Con Before the Storm. It's happening. Check it out.
Welcome, everyone. We haven't planned good RP here. You'll have to do it for me. What are we doing?
Welcome, Scott. Welcome. Please come in. Close the door behind you. Remember to lock it as well. Don't bolt it, though. Okay.
Wow. Didn't know you were going to do all this Foley work. This is amazing.
Exactly.
Right.
I got Michael Winslow.
Yeah.
From Police Academy fame.
Whoa. Easy there, Grandpa.
Do our sound effects for us.
Yeah.
So it's good. Anyway.
Hey, it's that's
today dust off the dustiest of tomes. One filled, it's called Viewer Requests. And this one, someone requested, could you tell us more about the High King, King Varian Wrynn? Sadly, ooh, departed from this world, spoilers. But tell us about him and his days, his travels, his story,
wow,
his loves,
wow,
his passion.
Okay.
Who could he be?
This is all pre puff of green smoke, Varian Wrynn, right? That's
hey,
what I'm talking about.
Hey. Okay. It's still very raw for a lot of people. Okay.
Yeah. I imagine there
it's
are some
almost as raw as so if you played through if you're Alliance and you played through in 7.2, you get amazing cinematic, you get a great quest, and it really kind of brings it full circle. You've got Ghen Greymane, who obviously lost his son.
Yeah.
Vowed vengeance on Sylvanas and the Horde for that. And you've got King Anduin Wrynn, who lost his father and is trying to come to terms with that. And both of these orphans I don't know what you call a parent who's lost their kid.
I don't know what that is. That's, yeah.
And I think they find solace in one another. And it's a really beautiful, beautiful moment that I think as an Alliance player brings some element of closure to the traumatic death and valiant sacrifice of King Varian Wrynn.
So I saw that scene.
It's a Horde player.
Yeah.
Vol'jin, as we know, our war chief, died. There's nothing for him. But, there might be some hugely beautiful, symbolic, heartfelt, touching moment in the future for the Horde. But methinks not, man. Knows, maybe Vol'jin will come back in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah, so, maybe we'll get him back. But the thing about that cinematic, real quick, not to leave that right away. When Anduin, I've seen it. When Anduin gets up there and sort of is struggling with this idea that his not only is his father gone, but he must take up the mantle because he's the, you know, the heir, and he doesn't know if he's able. Like, he's feeling like, well, I've been all about peace and love, baby. Now I got to lead, you know, basically a continuing war with the Horde and whatever else elements we have to fight. And it's real rough. It's actually a very poignant moment. But it seems to me that it all gets a little too convenient, that the weapon's the thing that gives him what he needs, to me. Like, it's all he needed. Oh, there's my dad's sword. Sweet. I'm good. I got a sword.
It's Charlemagne. It's a beautiful, beautiful story, which maybe we will touch on today. Hmm. As we venture forth through history, through the annals of time.
Yes.
Got to be careful how you say that one. where we look at Varian Rin, the firstborn of King Lane Rin. Mm. Obviously, if you've seen the Warcraft movie, you have a better idea as to who Varian's dad is. It's the king in said Warcraft movie. Mm. So you can visualize already we've got the king in our heads.
Yeah.
We actually see a young Varian in the film just before King Lane goes off to battle. He says, "Varian, just name checking you there, brother." Going off to battle. And it's a very, again, very emotional moment.
It is. He's like 5, by the way.
Well, he's actually around about 10
or so
at that point.
Okay.
When the orcs first come to Azeroth, he should be around about 10 in that sort of kind of thing. So,
And that's considered, is that considered current lore, and is that retrofitted at all?
I don't know. Okay. It changes so much, and I have a mind like a sieve, Scott.
Yeah.
Coupled with your innate ability to forget every name of anything ever, I think we make a dream team of, you know, the thing with the guy and the place.
It's perfect. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a perfect combination. Exactly. This is like salami and bread. We're perfect together.
Exactly. Yeah. With no form of spread at all. Just nice dry bread there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so obviously, if people haven't seen the Warcraft movie, basically the orcs come to Azeroth. King Lane ends up valiantly fighting them. But sadly is killed by Garona Half-Orcan.
Yeah.
She's called Half-Orcan. She is, in fact, obviously half an orc. The other half is Draenei and or a human, depending on which movie franchise or game franchise
Hold on now. She's Half-Orcan in the movie, but isn't there? There's some controversy with her that
she's meant to be Medivh's dalliance, I believe.
Okay.
I think Medivh was meant to be... I think that's the only way for her to have been... half human,
okay.
Because obviously it was the first contact. But they were saying she's half human.
But they retconned that in the movie to bring it to a place that made sense for the movie, I guess.
I think so. Well, no, in the franchise, she's always been half Draenei. So it was her mother was I think a Draenei female that was raped by hordy orcs or something to that effect.
Yeah,
and so she was then.
That's a little bit of a darker tale. That right there.
I think so. Well, I think the reality is she doesn't fit in. Mm. That's the truth of it.
Mm.
And that's what makes her character this sort of this outcast who's welcomed by the humans in Stormwind. They see her as a bridge and also someone who can help them repel these monstrous invaders. Mm. Sadly, in our sort of game narrative, Garona, under the orders of the Shadow Council, assassinates King Lane.
Oh my.
In the movie, she kills him at his request so that she may not be killed by the orcs and may hopefully live to fight another day and help the humans another way.
I see.
King Lane makes the ultimate sacrifice in that variant, or he is ultimately kind of betrayed.
Mm.
So from an early on, Varian has this story of his father being killed by the formerly kind of the orc they trusted.
Mm.
And I think that imprints something on the character that maybe feeds into future efforts.
Were these things chronicled? Where were they best chronicled game wise? Was it Warcraft 2? Did that do any of that for us? Or did we get all that from the side stuff? Books
it's all from novels. From novels, to be honest with you. I mean, I think even in Warcraft 2, I think it was still like heaven and hell, Christianity, rather than the light, and things like that. So Warcraft, really, as we know it today, is World of Warcraft and Warcraft 3, I think, chiefly. But there's some, I think Warcraft 2 maybe Tides of War have some stuff in it as well.
Sure.
Anywho, all right. So Anduin, Lothar, and the sons, in fact, no, Warcraft 2 must do. Anyway, so Lothar becomes the de facto leader of the armies of the Alliance, mm-hmm. or the humans at the time.
Yep.
But Varian is king of Stormwind. Mm. Stormwind itself, the city sacked and taken, and this is when Garona assassinates Layne. But Anduin narrowly escapes with some men and important people, including Khadgar and King Varian Rhyn, mm-hmm. A 10-year-old boy. They head off to the other great human city, which is Lordaeron, ruled by King Teneros, mm. Who is better known as Arthas's dad.
Yeah.
They go over there and kind of, you know, try and broker some form of alliance. And this is really when the alliance becomes the alliance, mm. really. It's no longer a Stormwind battle now. It's a battle with humans and elves and these other
right,
races.
But was it? But did it primarily? I mean, was it mostly Lordaeron and Stormwind joining forces, and that's your beginning of the alliance? And then in come the
there's
elves
some
and...
other big kind of humans, cities and tribes. I guess you've got Stromgarde, you've got other ones that don't come to mind. Mm. But yeah, it's basically the alliance is the unification, I guess, of the human cities.
All right.
So King Teneros welcomes Varian as an equal. Mm. He's a king now, even though he's a boy, and welcomes him to his city, where he is kind of befriends a slightly younger prince by the name of Arthas Menethil, mm. Who is obviously one of our favorite characters in the Warcraft world.
Sure. Well, sure. But then he's also one of the, I mean, he is certainly one of the most complicated characters in the
I think so. Yeah. I think... Varian is looked upon as a best friend to Arthas in growing up. You know, they were two young royals, both with great futures thrust upon them.
Were they contemporaries age-wise? Like
a couple years between them.
Okay.
Though Arthas often got slightly jealous, I guess, of Varian's physical strength.
Yeah.
I think Arthas is, you know, his inferiority complex runs throughout his tale in terms of it pushing him on, trying to be the prince and the champion that he needs to be, the best paladin he can be, the best king eventually he can try and be.
Sure.
And yeah, so he's a complicated one. But anyway, so we had this lovely moment, and King Varian Rhyn is raised basically in Lordaeron with Arthas, with Anduin Lothar, is a big feature in his training and his upbringing, as is King Teneros.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we know that King Varian Rhyn has a son, which he names in honor of Anduin Lothar.
Yeah, because he was like his
he was basically like his dad.
Sure.
His like second dad.
Yeah. In the movie played by the dude from Vikings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's a Viking. Yeah.
So basically, as around about kind of 8-10 years later, so Varian's officially crowned king of Stormwind around 18. King Teneros helps fund and organize Stormwind's recapture and rebuilding. So they've drive the orcs out, and Stormwind can become a city once again.
Yeah.
To achieve this, they invite the services of the stonemasons.
Oh.
Who have a fair, as always in cities, there's always a stonemasons guild.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular guild was led by a guy called Edwin Van Cleef. Together they designed a beautiful city that would be built honoring the heroes of old. So when you come up onto Stormwind, you see Khadgar, you see Lothar, you see Illyria, you see what's his face, the other guy.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah. Anyway, you see the champions of Warcraft 2,
mm-hmm.
Lining the street, and all of this obviously wasn't cheap, but it was seen that, you know, this was an important thing to do, to remember where they came from, mm-hmm. and where they were going.
Sure. And Van Cleef, by the way, a hotly sought after, people want him in Heroes of the Storm. I don't know why, but that's always, we do these little polls and people will say, oh yeah, Van Cleef, get him in there. And I don't know what he would even do, but fine. He features later in some questing stuff, right? Like in WoW, he's like a big questy dude on the Alliance side.
No. We'll cover that.
All right.
So Varian, Stormwind's being rebuilt, but he decides to leave the running of the city under the stewardship of the House of Nobles. So the House of Nobles is made up of the kind of the wealthy families of Stormwind. Mm. And instead, he then goes off searching the whole of the Eastern Kingdoms for trying to find Garona. Mm-hmm. And so he's doing that. He comes back and, you know, Stormwind's finished. It's all beautiful. And he meets a lovely, beautiful woman named Tithin. And together they marry. And they have their first and only child, Anduin. Mm. So this is where things get a bit funny. So the House of Nobles featured a certain lady, Lady Katrina or Katrana Prester. She refused to pay the stonemasons. She felt that they didn't need to be paid or that they didn't deserve to be paid. It basically seems as if Katrana has a certain motive, I guess, in this.
Yeah.
And ultimately, once kind of they bridge where the stonemasons eventually get some money, but nowhere near what they felt they were earned. So Edwin Van Cleef, as the leader of the Stonemasons Guild, started riots and demanding, you know, fair pay for what they did. Mm. This riot was crazy,
man.
This was off the chain. You know, this was a big riot, and sadly, Varian's wife Tithin gets killed accidentally by a large rock.
Oh, geez, I didn't know about this at all. This is news to me. Is this why Varian was so pissed all the time? Is that the deal?
So exactly. So now we have a king who lost his son, who lost his father, now loses his wife, and has now a son that's lost his parent as well, and, you know, trying to rule a city that's in unrest whilst raise a young son alone, whilst deal with the grief of losing the woman you love, is pretty full on. Edwin Van Cleef flees Stormwind, and the stonemasons all go. They set up shop in Westfall, and they change their name to the Defias Brotherhood, where they seek ultimately for fair compensation, and they still feel wronged. Obviously, Varian is pissed, but more so, he's depressed. Mm. And so at this time, Warcraft 3 kicks off, but you don't really see much of Stormwind because he's just in this malaise. And because of these actions, because of all this, he just slowly becomes more and more introverted. And it turns out Lady Katrana is using magic as well to try and run Varian down.
Mm. That seems like dirty pool.
Yeah, well, Lady Katrana Prester, she is better known as Anixia. Mm. So she is a dragon in human guise, and she is trying to use her influence to take down the human kingdom of Stormwind. Mm. So she manages to incite violence in the stonemasons. She, you know, manages to have Tithin killed through that violence, and she capitalizes on Varian's depression. Mm. What happens next is then covered through a series of comics that were the World of Warcraft comics. And basically, when we first load into World of Warcraft, King Varian Wrynn is gone. He's been kidnapped.
Yeah.
Bolvar Fordragon, is the Regent Lord of Stormwind, ruling in place of Anduin, who is still just a boy at this point. Lady Katrina Prester has become the royal advisor, and she has Anduin crowned king, but it's all a bit messy.
So he's just a little puppet king, right? Like, there's no
exactly.
Yeah, he's got no power or whatever. All right.
Basically, if you went to Alcaz Island, or it's kind of basically Alcatraz, it's just off of Theramore, and it was a prison complex in WoW before Cataclysm. Now I think it's got like a goblin or a gnomish crazy person there, like Dr. Weevil or something like that. But the idea was is that Varian was kidnapped and imprisoned as part of this Black Dragon plot. And obviously in Theramore is where Onyxia's caves are, and that's where we face her off, but this is where he's taken. Now, somehow, Varian escapes. Now, he turns up in the comics, kind of washed up on a beach, not knowing who he is or what he is, and actually is washed up on the shores of Durotar, so it's kind of just north of Theramore. He then comes across an orc by the name of Rhaegar, Earthfury, who you obviously know from Heroes, and manages to fight off this big, huge crocolisk using only a stick.
Oh my!
And so instantly, Rhaegar's like, "This guy's got something talent to him." Now, Rhaegar was a gladiator trainer, and so they decide to capture Varian and put him to work as a gladiator. He gets thrown into a cage with two other gladiators by the name of Brol Bearmantle and Valera Sanguinar. Brol is a druid, but he's a druid that's kind of lost his edge and his faith a bit. Valera is a blood elf who's very young and is a little bit uneasy, I guess.
Uneasy, okay.
Yeah, I think so. She doesn't really know her place either. So we've kind of got these three misfits. So Rhaegar kind of teaches them how to fight as a team.
Yeah.
And they kind of go on to have more and more fights. Varian defends the other guys as well. They all bond. It's all beautiful. Varian then gets given the name Lagosh, or Logosh, which basically means ghost wolf. They called him this because of his speed and his skill, so they called him Logosh. So this is Logosh. This is all we know, is this guy's called Logosh. They go on to have more and more gladiatorial fights, kind of bond as beautiful people. Varian still doesn't know who he is. Varian's named after Logosh, who is basically one of the ancient eternal creatures from the Emerald Nightmare, Emerald Dream, even, sorry. So he's one. He's the big wolf guy that we sometimes have fought with and alongside. So he's a real guy, they're pretty cool guys.
Okay.
Anyway, so we then have the guys come across through the journeys. They come across Jaina Proudmoore. Now, Jaina, obviously, she knows who this guy is.
Sure. This is, by the way, pre-Theramore Jaina. She's happy and positive.
She's happy.
And,
she's lovely. She loves bringing people together.
Sure.
And
she's here to help. She's here to help, as she always says.
Basically, they... well, she thinks she knows who he is anyway. She and Aegwynn, who, if you remember from previous episodes, was the guardian of Trisful, who is Medivh's mum. Aegwynn is still alive at this time, and she is, she's been magically enhanced in her lifespan. they're like, yeah, hang on. This is King Varian Wrynn, the lost king of Stormwind.
Yeah.
However, at the same time, there's another King Varian Wrynn over in Stormwind.
Whoa.
So we've got Logosh here, this gladiator, and then we've got this other King Varian Wrynn at in Stormwind.
And it was Van Cleef the entire time. Oh, no.
No, sadly not. All right. Basically, it was actually Lady Katrana Prestor, or Onyxia, has basically used dark magics to split King Varin Rin. In splitting him, she has basically made Lagosh, who is all of the war and the fighting and the skill. Then she has Varian, who is all of the statesman and king, but equally all of the flamboyance, I guess.
Right.
This ultimately progresses through time to the point where Varian and Lagosh team up to take on Onyxia.
Oh my.
So we've got these two, like, it's like Double Dragon, like these two twins almost, that fight on to take out this dragon. So basically, Onyxia, they're fighting. She uses a spell that she was going to use originally in the prison island to kill Lagosh. But Lagosh's double, this Varian, steps in front of the Bast, saying he should die because Lagosh was the true Varian, the true embodiment of this warrior king.
Right.
But
boy, what a mixed up weirdo deal that is, though.
Exactly. But Lagosh, he ain't content with this.
Yeah.
So he jumps in the way. And so they're both trying to take a bullet in this beautiful kind of bodyguard-esque moment. You just got to imagine Whitney Houston playing in the background. The magic is disrupted by these two variants.
Yeah.
And actually fuses them back together.
Oh, my.
And what was quite cool at the same time is that King Varian and Lagosh were both wielding these cool swords. They basically get fused together and they become Charlemagne. So if you notice, King Varian's blade looks kind of like his two blades. You know, they're kind of one's floating on top of the other and there's some kind of powerful energy in the middle. And sometimes he can rip them apart and use them as two swords again. And this was basically a remnant of these two blades and this fusing that returned Varian together, and he's now whole. So he is now a king that has all of those warrior tendencies and skills with the statesman-like kings, and is kind of back where he needs to be.
All right.
So we then get to, in WoW terms, we're now coming up for Wrath of the Lich King.
Oh, okay.
So all right. This has all happened kind of in between Burning Crusade and Wrath.
Didn't it seem like there was, this could just be me being dumb, but it felt like there was very little Varian Wrynn in vanilla and even Burning Crusade. I felt like I barely knew the guy.
He wasn't. Again, the original story was that he was missing, potentially captured and imprisoned, and you could go to Alcatraz or Alcaz Island, and you could find a placeholder King Varian Wrynn in the sewers there. And there were black dragonkin as prison guards, and he was kind of way deep down in a sewer where you could just find him standing there doing nothing.
Wow.
And then they, I guess, became inspired with a better story, or they had time to tell the story they originally wanted. And through a partnership with DC Comics, they told the story I've just kind of butchered, which is how he got kidnapped and then his journey back from nothing. And basically they tried to design him as an alliance thrall. So Thrall, obviously, we talked about previously, was a gladiator. Mm-hmm. He fought in the pits. He was educated, but he has a warrior's spirit, and he leads his people with a strong conviction from the front lines. And that is basically what the alliance was missing. When you looked at the Horde, you looked at this great figurehead, this great king, this war chief. But the alliance didn't really have anyone like that. We had King Magni Bronzebeard. We had Archdruid Fandral Staghelm, who was just an absolute douche. And you had King Gelbin Mechatork of the Gnomes, who, you know, we love, but, you know, there's no one really we could rally behind as the Horde could with Thrall.
Right.
So Varian was that, the Alliance Thrall. And he's pretty cool. Yeah. He's pretty cool.
Do you, from the perspective of somebody who's been watching this stuff for years, do you feel like that was a little contrived that, hey, the Alliance doesn't really have this Thrall type, so we better do that?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, it was a little bit like, oh, yeah, the parallels weren't, you know, were less sort of like clever mirroring, mm-hmm. and more so it felt like, oh, I get, like, now we both get to have one.
Right.
But it was all good.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, they then kept the character moving forward, and they are very different characters.
That's true.
Which is great.
Yeah. One of them's a puff of green smoke now, and the other one's not. The other one lives.
Well, the other one's still green.
Well, that's true.
But we'll see.
Yeah. He's still better. Anywho. He gets to eat and chill and, you know, smile and have, you know, relations with his wife and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly. So there's always that.
Yeah.
So Varen returns, and at this time, the Lich King returns as well. Mm. So we've got Varian, who grew up with Arthas, now having to take down Arthas. And so he's, you know, sends off the best warriors the Alliance has. Off they go.
Mm.
Off they go to Northrend. During this time, he sends Bolvar Fordragon. Bolvar, a brother to him, who mentored and kept Stormwind safe and mentored Anduin, even while Lady Catrana Presta was messing things up. Bolvar was this paladin. He was a prop paladin. We don't really have many good prop paladins left in the lore. If you ever did the Onyxian questline as an Alliance member, you know that Bolvar's cleave was something to be witnessed. He was a beast.
Yeah.
And just a phenomenal character. And he was sent off to confront Arthas, and alongside Sarafang, they call him out at the Wrathgate.
The Wrathgate.
And they say, Arthas! The blood of your people demands retribution, or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Arthas comes out, he's like, bring it, brother.
Yeah.
And they start tussling. It doesn't really seem like either side's really going to do that well. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? And then Professor Putrescide.
You think we had forgotten that guy.
It is forgiven.
Yeah.
And just drops this new plague on them and messes everyone up. So Bolvar at this point is believed to be dead.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen the red dragons came along and kind of, cauterized and cleansed the plague away with their burning flame.
Right.
And Bolvar was nowhere to be seen, nor was Southang.
Right. Okay, keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. There's but Varian at this point is angry.
Yeah.
So he sends Jaina, who's at this point the closest thing we have to an envoy to the Horde, mm-hmm. to Orgrimmar, to say, hang on, what's going on?
Yeah.
And Varian wants blood. And this is the thing we see at this time, is that Varian is still at this point very much wrestling with the Lagosh within him, this wolf spirit, this fighting, angry king.
Yeah.
And this is something that throughout his life, he struggles to control, this burning anger. You know, before it was trying to track down his father's killer. Then it became trying to drive out his wife's, who he deemed to blame, the Defias Brotherhood. You know, those guys. And mm-hmm. and now it's the Horde. Jaina finds out it's Varimathurus, whatever, the undead. And the Horde is basically saying, like, hey, this ain't on us. And even to that extent, we've lost the Undercity. So Varian's like, okay, cool. Well, you know, I grew up in Lordaeron, which mm-hmm. you now call the Undercity. I think it's about time we took that back.
Yeah.
So as an Alliance after the Wrathgate, you rock through with Varian and Jaina, and you try and retake the Undercity in an amazing quest called the Battle for the Undercity.
Yeah, it was really good. Loved it.
Varian confronts Thrall, and he says, peace is impossible. We can't do this.
Yeah.
And Thrall's like, you know what? I think you're right. I think we need to settle this now. You need to get out of the Undercity. This is a Horde city. And he's like, this is Lordaeron. You need to get out. Jaina, being Jaina, teleports everyone out. Teleports all of the Alliance back to Stormwind.
Yeah. Like she does.
Varian, he's very much of the opinion the Horde, they need to be wiped out as
well. Yeah, yeah.
But we're still trying to fight the Lich King.
Yeah.
So, there's then another cinematic we see where Bran Bronzebeard learns about Yogg-Saron in this Titan construct called Olduar. Mm-hmm. And he goes to Dalaran and asks Ronin to hold a council to talk to Varian. But before that happens, Varian sees Thrall and Garrosh, and then Garrosh, he says, you know, hang on, you're, you know, alliance scum, alliance pigs. And Varian's like, okay, time to get going. They have a fight. Ronin breaks it up. But again, we see that we just see that Varian is very much on the side of, you know, his alliance, and that's it.
Yeah, maybe we can find some kind of middle ground. There's none of that with him at this point. In fact, exactly. I remember in Trial of the Champions, very specifically, TOC, that raid content, him being up on the stands and being a total piss pot the entire time.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And so you had, as much as Varian was intended to be the Alliance's thrall, yeah, he actually became the Alliance's Garrosh. Mm-hmm. He became a warmonger or an antagonistic member of the faction that wasn't going to take it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then you had Thrall and Jaina trying to be like, come on, guys, come on. We've got to kill the Lich King, okay? We have a bigger thing to worry about, okay? Our squabbles are nothing compared to the dead that are walking the earth.
Mm-hmm. It's a fair point,
but it's tough. Yeah. It's all getting a bit heated.
Yeah.
Anywho, as this progresses, we kill Arthas. Bolvar dons the helm of domination, mm-hmm, and becomes a new Lich King.
Yes.
However, he says to the paladin.
Tyrion Fordring.
Tyrion Fordring, thank you. He says to Tyrion Fordring, you know, don't tell anyone what's going on. And Tyrion's like, okay, sweet. I'll make a monument in the middle of the city where everyone is, and they can click it and they can see what happens.
Right.
And it's like, oh, and that's why whenever you log into Northrend, you see Bolvar just doing the kind of the frustrated expression of, oh my God, Tyrion, you had one job. So that's an interesting little tidbit.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that until just now, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so at this point, Varian, in his kind of mental state, he's lost pretty much everyone close to him, and he's kind of distant to his son as well. Anduin is grown up a lot without him.
Yeah.
He grew up alongside Bolvar, who was a paladin and taught him of the light. Mm-hmm. His father is a warrior and a skilled swordsman and strong character.
And he's all about like the Anduin's all like, no, Dad, peace and love and pandas and stuff. Like he was super like not the warrior type. He wanted to heal the world. That's what he wanted.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And still might to some degree. Like, you know, as much as he's now got that weapon, and he's now got, you know, the mandate to take his father's place, I'm not 100% convinced that he's not going to be Mr. Peace next time.
Well, exactly. And what happens later then is we finish up in Wrath of Lich King, and we start moving into the shattering, the sundering that becomes the cataclysm.
Yeah.
Anduin, he's not happy about his dad's refusal of peace and pacifism,
yeah,
and thinks that something's, you know, that his dad is just wrong, just completely wrong.
Yeah.
Varian, he doesn't quite know. He's not too sure. Mm. At this time, King Magni Bronzebeard of the Dwarves seeks to commune with the elements themselves. The actual planet of Azeroth is his goal, and he wants to find out what's going on. Now, obviously, we know Deathwings are rumbling, but Magni takes to reading an old tablet, which should allow him to commune directly with the Earth. Mm-hmm. Sadly, it turns him into the Earth as he becomes a giant crystalline creature.
Yeah.
And the dwarves are left without a king.
Yep.
Now,
his brothers are just chilling, right? What are they doing? They're just doing shit.
Bran is busy looking up Titan stuff.
Yeah.
And Moradin is leading the Frost dwarves up in Northrend, previously believed to be killed by Arthas, but later it turned out he just had a very bad concussion, as is often convenient.
Sure.
But Magni's daughter, Moria, who had married Emperor Thrasian of the Dark Iron Dwarves, who we killed back in World of Warcraft, Vanilla, on King Magni Bronzebeard's orders. Mm-hmm. Bronzebeard thought that his daughter had been captured and brainwashed. Mm. But the reality is that Moria had chosen to go with Thrasian, and she loved him. And more so, she'd had a baby with him.
Oh my.
So she had the heir to the Dark Iron Throne, and she herself was queen of the Dark Iron Dwarfs now. She storms Ironforge and takes it for herself, and holds everyone in the city hostage. And at the time, Anduin was in Ironforge as well. Mm. So Varian's like, okay, SI7, who's basically MI6, you know, he's like, my secret team of rogues and spies, we're going to liberate Ironforge.
Sure.
And what's more, we're going to kill Moria Thrasian.
Wow.
Okay. Now, Magni Bronzebeard, again, great friend to Anduin and to Varian, a great smith. He was the guy who forged the Ashbringer and other cool things. He's a top dude. So Moria to be in a position that kind of desecrating Magni's city and wishes, Varian's like, okay, this is time to end this. Varian, being the skilled warrior he is, storms the city, takes it back, and is about to execute Moria. Now Anduin convinces him that it would be better to help Moria become a better leader than to just execute her. And that despite being a tyrant who has kind of come along and usurped the city, she's actually still the legitimate heir to the throne. Mm. So killing her only creates more chaos. And equally, what happens to her son? Do they kill the baby as well? And Varian starts to see reason, but says that, okay, if you want to be queen, you got to earn that from your own people's respect. And in order to try and make all dwarves feel represented, Varian calls for the formation of the Council of Three Hammers. So in this, we then have the different dwarves. We've got the Wild Hammers represented, we've got the Dark Irons, and we've got the Bronzebeards. So we have, as we have now, three dwarven leaders that act as a council of one.
Right.
And everyone says, you know what, Varian, great leadership, great kinging. That was really good stuff. And it's really from this point where Varian is, I think, truly considered to be the High King of the Alliance. And that is that he is the guy that can unite the whole Alliance.
Right. And in the way that Thrall got, you know, everybody else that aren't orcs on board, it's the same
exactly.
deal. Yeah. Which is good. You need that guy.
So he's matured somewhat. Mm-hmm. You know, he's done good.
Yeah. He's seen some shit though, man.
He truly has.
Yeah.
He truly has.
Yeah. He's been around.
He basically goes on to bigger and better things. Like throughout Cataclysm, he's involved in Westfall as part of the Defias Brotherhood kind of quest towards the end there. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of stuff with in Twilight Highlands as well, where he's tasked Anduin to try and get involved. And he's trying to help his son while equally being you know, scared of his son's safety.
Right.
In Mists of Pandaria, which followed, he decides to send us along with some high-level SI7 agents to rescue the White Pawn, who is actually Anduin, who was stranded on Pandaria at the time.
I remember there's a big quest line for that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So Mists happens, obviously, with the Cataclysm. Deathwing emerges. And so shifts the mists that have previously cloaked Pandaria from the rest of the world.
Right.
So we discover this new place, and obviously the Alliance and Horde spill out upon there and spill their war on there. Pandaria is plagued by something known as the Shah. Now, the Shah are the kind of like the goop in Ghostbusters 2, mm-hmm. Where it's kind of, you know, they react to negative emotions. And so we have the Shah of fear, mm-hmm. the you know, all these different negative things going on.
Right.
And obviously our conflict spilling out onto Pandaria has only caused these Shah to grow as more and more anger and bloodshed is poured across this hopeful, peaceful land.
As
things crack on, Varian becomes more and more of a leader and less the war-hungry Lagosh that he was. So we see throughout this Varian taking more of Anduin's guidance and the son teaching the father, and things become better and better as their relationship continues, even to the point where there was a scenario where the Council of the Three Hammers they said they didn't need help in Ironforge's defense, as Ironforge was sacked by the Frostmane trolls. But Moria said, actually, yeah, that would be useful. And King Varian and Moria work together, and we start seeing again now that Varian as a character has become more rounded, more wise, less bloodthirsty, mm-hmm. and this progresses all the way through to the pinnacle of Mists in the Siege of Orgrimmar, where we have it gone full circle, where Jaina, who has lost her friends, her family, and her city to the Horde, cries out for Garrosh to be executed.
Yeah.
Whereas Varian understands now that that isn't the right thing to do.
Yeah.
That isn't the just thing to do.
Right. Which puts them at odds, right? Like, now they're not... Jaina is no longer so loyal.
It's a little bit different now. Jaina still dislikes the Horde. However, obviously Varian we'll get into. So obviously, had Varian killed Garrosh as Jaina had urged, we wouldn't have had Warlords of Draenor.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have, you know, there wouldn't have been any time traveling. There wouldn't have been any Gul'dan. There wouldn't have been any Legion invasion that we're currently facing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things could have been helped by Varian being a bit more Lagosh at that time. However, he wasn't. He's been kind of softened by Anduin.
Which comes to, I don't want to jump ahead, but it comes to fruition in that cinematic for Legion. It's like there's this reckoning moment of he's writing a letter to his son and wants him to know that, you know, he's learned all this stuff from him, patience and virtues, and I can't remember all the words, but...
He says, my son, a terrible darkness has returned to our world.
Yeah.
As before, it seeks to annihilate everything that we hold dear. I go to face it, knowing I may not return. All my life, I have lived by the sword. Mm. I've seen kingdoms burn and watched brave heroes die in vain.
Man.
It's been difficult for me to trust after losing so much. But from you, I've learned patience, tolerance, and faith. Anduin, I now believe as you do that peace is the noblest aspiration. But to preserve it, you must be willing to fight.
Yeah.
For Azeroth!
For Azeroth! Yeah.
And yeah, I like it. They were trying to get For Azeroth as a neutral battle kind of work. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's like,
by the way, take that, Chris Metzen. I think you got some new competition for Varian voiceover. Man.
Oh, no. He doesn't do Varian. I think he did very much at the beginning, but they've got a different guy.
Well, he did that.
I think those words are beautiful, though.
He did the one for the cinematic, for the Legion cinematic. I talked to him about it. Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, he says,
oh, really?
So and his deal with Heroes of the Storm, the current Varian Heroes of the Storm is all him as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, same session. There you go. Same recording
wow.
session. So,
well, there you go.
So when he says, hey, I'll come back and do your thrall anytime you guys want, he's actually referring to, I assume, Varian as well.
Both thralls.
Yeah.
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 Lion's thrall and Horde thrall.
Well, green puff of smoke thrall and the other one.
Well, okay. So as you've quite rightly said, so after this character now really becoming whole, he's no longer a warmonger. He's not a complete whiny pacifist like his son. He is the ultimate badass.
Yeah.
You know, he can be reasonable whilst equally still laying the smack down.
Yeah. Perhaps the best sort of leader you want, right?
Someone you would who think can so, exactly. And that yeah. what is what makes this all the more painful.
Mm.
So the Legion has returned. Gul'dan has opened a portal over the Broken Shore. And Varian, being the king that he is, leads the assault on the Broken Shore himself,
right.
knowing that he probably won't return.
Right. Hence the letter to his son that was like, hey.
Exactly.
Yeah. Final words here.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, what happens is, as we've all played through numerous times, I'm sure, is ultimately Varian decides to leap from the flying skyship in the hopes of taking out a huge, huge, giant legion construct that would otherwise threaten the lives of his soldiers and his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so he decides to sacrifice his own life for them. However, being the ultimate badass he is, he manages to use his awesome sword and chop this huge construct into massive explosion, but doesn't die to that explosion. He's still alive.
Yeah.
As the armies of Legion surround him, and he's in this hopeless scenario. But where others see no hope, he sees the need to carry on. And so he fights back Felguard after Felguard until ultimately he's overrun and a Fellord's lance pierces through his body and he falls to his knees right before Gul'dan. And then Gul'dan says, you know, you will die for nothing. And Varian's like, nah, I think I'll die for the Alliance. And Gul'dan uses Fel energy to completely eradicate Varian, coursing through every inch of his body before just exploding in a huge green puff of smoke.
Yeah.
Rough
business.
That's what you're breathing every time you go to the Broken Shore. Got little bits of Varian, just that's it. You got that.
Yeah, you're sucking it in. You don't know it, but you are. So I got a question about that because we're at that point. Can you foresee a scenario, or do you predict a scenario where we are not done with King Varian Wrynn? That he will come back in some corporeal form, ghostly visage, something, an effect. I mean, no one ever really dies in Warcraft. So is it possible we're not done?
So
with
I would them? Say no. I would say that you can go to the Broken Shore now and you can find literally a sort of roughly man-shaped green splat of ooze with a skull in front of it.
Yeah.
Varian died in a way you don't come back from.
Okay.
Like that is, you know, there is nothing left of him. He's not Illidan. He doesn't have an immortal demon soul that he can, you know, recoalesce and take corporeal form again. This is a man, albeit the best of men, who died for his people and for our future and hope. And he died in a horrible, horrible way.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes it just, I guess, is Gul'dan, once defeated by us, is the kill often, as always, is stolen by Illidan, who grabs him and quite poetically fills Gul'dan with an unbearable amount of fel energy and explodes him into a green puff of smoke before crushing his skull.
Yeah, which is good.
So it's
there's some justice there, I suppose.
It certainly is.
Who knew that it would be Illidan that would get some revenge for King Varian Wrynn of the Alliance? It's crazy.
Well, exactly. I think we all had some beef with Gul'dan, so it's good to see him gone. But it's a sad one.
We all said some beef with Gul'dan is like the most awesome understated reference ever. We've all got a little beef with Gul'dan. That's true.
So you can see King Varian Wrynn's tomb in Stormwind. Mm. It's in the park, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's a monument to everyone who died at the Broken Shore as well. But he looks like an absolute rock star. Just made of stone, lead on this tome.
So for a long, long time, he was considered a little bit of a weenie by Horde standards. In our minds, the Horde players would look at that and just go, well, whatever, King Varian Wrenn, he's just your typical tough guy, long hair, you know, anime-looking giant sword-carrying dude. And
yeah.
He's always mad, and he's always this, and he's always that. Do you feel like his ultimate arc and his final demise and all the things that sort of led up to where we have him now, which is in our lungs.
And in Heroes of the Storm.
And in Heroes of the Storm. He's great in there. Best tank in the game, maybe.
It's amazing. You just can't kill him.
Yeah, he's so great.
Frustrating.
His taunt build is insane. But anyway, so do you feel like justice has been done then? Do you feel like we can put behind us the ideas that he was just a bratty boy king grown to be a brattier man king and was just always complaining and pissy and instead he's got now a legacy that is worthy of praise and that sort of thing?
I think so. I think when you look at his journey, he went from someone who had only experienced betrayal and death from everyone around him,
mm-hmm.
To then being thrust into a place where he then had his own son that he had to try and help through that. But through events, you know, of not of his doing, he's then not able to be there for his son, mm-hmm. like his father wasn't able to be there for him as he grew up.
Mm-hmm.
But when he returns to the throne, he, you know, wants to be better. He wants to be a great king. And more so, I think he wants to be a great father. I think he struggles equally with both as he wrestles with, you know, doing the right thing versus doing the thing he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, as I love the dynamic between Anduin and Varian, and that Anduin, as much as he is Varian's son, also teaches Varian so much about himself and those around him. Mm. And I think reminds Varian that he's human. And as much as he's been hurt, he can't just close himself off to it all. He can't just be this two-dimensional warmonger. He needs to think bigger,
mm.
and needs to, you know, do what's right for the Alliance. So I love where he goes. And I think as a character, he'll be sorely missed in the Alliance. Anduin is a great guy. I hope Anduin doesn't become Varian Jr. I don't really want to see Anduin not be a priest and become more of a paladin,
mm-hmm.
Because I think firstly, I don't like the message that it's almost like priests tend to be like paladin training school. And then, hey, if you're a priest, but also you can swing an axe or a sword, or a mace, why not be a paladin? It's so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true, but it shouldn't be. And I think that Anduin has an interesting future ahead of him, and it'd be funny to see where we go with that.
Mm.
We will see.
Yeah.
We will see what happens.
Yeah, it's weird in a way, because it's like that's why I think I keep asking that question about, is there a way to bring him back? Because that'd be cool. And I think I keep doing that because he did really turn out to be a pretty epic character, and they've killed him now. And, you know, they refuse to do that with Thrall. They just want to keep him forever. And he's always going to be now
we don't know. We don't know what they'll do with Thrall, but yeah, certainly they'll pace it out. But I think they needed to make Legion feel real and scary.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in a game where we cannot die. You know, we die, but then we come back.
Right.
And death loses all impact. And the best way to make that death felt is to have notable, real characters we interact with and know of be gone. And it's like, you know, when you look at the death of Superman, one of the kind of most amazing things to happen in comic books, and then give it another arc and he's back.
Mm-hmm.
It loses all impact. Superhero deaths. You know, you see Old Man Logan die.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool. You see Wolverine die in another comic, maybe it's not as final. With Captain America, you know, if he dies, someone else takes on the mantle. I think I'm happy with that compromise.
Yeah.
I understand that we can't have these grand stories, that then also need to put another issue out next week.
Yeah.
It's really tough to do those sorts of things. But I think that death is such a important part of who we are, that having those emotions and things explored is, you know, perfect and amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, Varian, I think, is an absolute badass. Mm. Now Anduin has one half of Charlemagne. We'll see if he gets both halves, or maybe he just has one half, and maybe that's Varian's war side represented, and that Anduin can have a meaner streak. But I don't know. Mm. I really don't know. I think it's going to be tough.
Because you got to have your conflict, right? You got to have your... Like, Anduin can't just suddenly be the peacemaker. There's got to be... this is where I think that Jaina starts to fit into the picture. Because for a while now, we've just had her as the pissed off post Theramore problem. And that hasn't really changed. And what could change that is a conflict of interest between... I mean, in a lot of ways, that's really made a real flip, because the current King of Stormwind and leader of the Alliance is potentially at odds with Jaina for the opposite reasons she used to be at odds with his dad, which was he was warmongery for a while and she wanted to find some common ground, and now he's wanting to find common ground potentially, and she wants to just say, that's it, I'm done, let's lay waste to the Horde. And that's really interesting to me, that dichotomy. So I mean, what do you think? Do you think Jaina is going to feature in that somehow?
Possibly. Mm. Possibly. Mm. I think Jaina is a funny one. In more recent books, her and Caligos seemed like she was going to mellow a bit more and maybe come to terms with Theramore a bit more and understand that Garrosh isn't the Horde. But then in the game, she's a bit flip-floppy. And yeah, I don't know. Mm. We will see.
Yeah, time will tell. Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is the story of King Varian Wrynn. From Boy King to Puff of Green Smoke. We have covered all of it, I believe, from top to bottom.
The big notes. There's obviously lots of other things that happen. He's been a major part of the game for, you know, nearly a decade.
Yeah.
But sadly, there is only so much time and so much boredom I can enact on.
But
I like him. I think he's a cool character. Yeah. I think it's a shame that we don't have another one.
Yeah, get out there, huff in some of the air in Broken Shores to remember him. Have him with you.
Breathe
always.
Him in. Have him in you. Exactly. Yeah.
Have him inside. He wants to be inside you. Okay?
I would love to have him inside me. Anyway, thanks for suggesting this. I forget who it was. Someone asked about this.
Someone wanted Varian. Yeah, it was a Twitter or somebody.
But shoot us more. Shoot us some at Twitter or to the email. And we'll try our best to tell you more stories about more dudes.
That's right. Instance Show on Twitter. You can also find the_T and me, Scott Johnson, on Twitter. Send your suggestions there or theinstance@gmail.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Terpster, and for the now deceased but wonderful example that was Varian Wrynn. Play Heroes of the Storm. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, this is Heather and Dave, organizers for our fifth annual event, Con Before the Storm. This event means the world to us and the community. And for the last 4 years, none of this would be possible without you. Since 2013, when we began as World of Podcast, every year we have been humbled by the kindness of people in this community.
On Thursday, November 2nd, we plan to return with World of Podcast, our amazing fan art gallery featuring over 200 pieces of unique art, our meet and greet, where content creators like Bajira, esports team like Method, and celebrity personalities like Malik Forte, Pamela Horton, and Michelle Morrow have mingled with fans.
Our Kickstarter is currently in full swing, and once we hopefully get to our initial funding target, we want to hit our stretch goals to get a larger space, which includes a Frog Pants and A-Move TV meetup, plus potentially some other stretch goal surprises.
Thank you for taking the time to check out our campaign and for your continued support. Help us kick off BlizzCon celebrations this year at Con Before the Storm 2017, a party by fans, for fans. For more information, please visit kickstarter.combeforestorm.com.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.